morning of Lady Esther Yerger and Mr. John Hamilton. Esther was raised in a Christian home and raised in a Baptist church in the early days of her life. When she was about 9 or 10 years old, there was a Bible conference in her church, and she, even at that young age, sensed the call of God on her life. And following an internal battle with the Lord, she finally surrendered to serve the Lord in the foreign mission field. She would go to college and study missions. This would be in the 1920s, I believe. And then she was appointed as a single missionary by the mission board to the field of the Philippines. And there she served the Lord for 3 years. She calls them joyous years in Iloilo, and teaching in a Bible institute there. In 1936, she was on a spring break and was visiting a friend of hers in Manila. And just as during the course of their time together, she introduced her to a man, John Hamilton, who was a young Scotsman. He was a banker, and he had been recently assigned to a bank there in Manila. Little was thought of that meeting, and Ms. Yerger returned home to Iloilo, only to discover that the mission officials had changed her assignment and were going to transfer her to the mission school that was in Manila for the next school year. So just in a couple of months, she's back in Manila permanently working in a Christian school there. Well, during the course of that time, she became more acquainted with Mr. Hamilton, John Hamilton. They became good friends, their friendship grew, and in February 1937, they became engaged as they fell in love. And however, John Hamilton explained to Esther, before he asked her to marry him, that the bank that he was employed by, and this will seem odd, had made him promise that he would not be married for 7 years. So they decided that must be the Lord's will for them, because he had agreed to that a couple years earlier, and they planned to be married as soon as the time expired. Well, right after that, the couple was separated. John was assigned to a bank in Singapore, and he left Manila in June of 1940. They both realized, as the whole world was realizing at that point, that the world was already at war in 1940. America was not yet involved. But while John was even on the boat to Singapore, France fell to the Nazis, and the situation seemed very bleak to her. She did not know, you know, when she would see him again, as now the world's getting more and more embroiled in war. And of course, to everybody's, or most people's, surprise, that would happen on December 7, 1941, as Japan attacked and destroyed most of our naval fleet at Pearl Harbor. Well, right after that, two months later in February, Singapore fell to the Japanese, and there's no communication at this point between anyone from country to country, at least citizens, and so Esther and John completely lost track of each other. She wondered what had happened to him. She assumed that when the Japanese captured Singapore, that he probably was imprisoned. What actually happened to him, later we find out, was that he endured bombings. He volunteered for medical help in local hospitals. The nights of the intense bombing by the Japanese as he slept in the hospital. Later he would fortunately get one of the last boats out of Singapore and was able to escape Singapore. But as they sailed, that boat was bombed by a Japanese air, and that ship sunk, and he swims to an uninhabited jungle island off the coast of Singapore somewhere. This is an amazing story. He was there for about a week. He was delivered by some fishermen that found him there, and he was delivered, or I should say, dropped off in Indonesia, and really he lasted the war kind of in relative safety in India and in South Africa. John had said to Esther over and over again, as they talked, he said, "Let us." He had this saying that he loved to say. He said, "Let us live a day at a time, and trust the Lord for each day as it comes." And these words would ring in Esther's mind over and over, as she tried to imagine what was happening to him and even the dangers for her. Well, then quickly after John had left for Singapore, the Japanese invade the Philippines and take over those islands. Within a month's time, Esther and the other missionaries there in Manila were imprisoned. And the next years, if you thought John's story was intense and trouble, what she went through with these missionaries in the Philippines, because the Japanese hated the Filipinos almost as much as they hated the Chinese, and just terrible, terrible atrocities that they would make on the Filipino people. The uncertainty every day in a prison camp of if this was your last day, if you're going to be killed that day, you can imagine living like that for 4 years. The cruelties, the beatings, the hunger. Many of the missionaries suffered kidney problems and bladder problems. They developed heart conditions because of the disease and the lack of food. Nerve paralysis, the bloating of limbs, and again, you know, the physical abuse and mental abuse, and really something that, you know, we might want to downplay, but you think about this because it's a real thing, is the constant threat of mental depression. Imagine living like that for years, not knowing, and you know, the devil is alive and well in our minds, and so it's really by the grace of God that he kept his children from really deep despondency as those missionaries were there in Manila prison camp. Well, the missionaries feared food shortages. They feared that the Japanese were going to run out of food, and they would be the first to, you know, suffer from that. But what they didn't know was the Japanese had intended to starve them to death. And so another verse that Esther had going through her head over and over was, "For our light affliction," Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And as the war continued, however, the Americans will win victory after victory and under General MacArthur, and they're coming closer and closer to the Philippines. The Japanese began their starvation. They decided this is the time we'll start starving these missionaries. A side story, but Filipino guerrillas, who are allies of ours, soldiers in the Philippine Army, discovered this plan of the Japanese intent to starve the missionaries. And they passed the word on to the American High Command. General MacArthur personally heard and was informed of the plot. And he gave orders personally for the American troops to on purpose, when they invaded Japan, to go as quickly as they could to the missionary prisoner of war camp and liberate those missionaries. And you can imagine the thrill. Imagine that. The thrill the missionaries experienced, and it seemed like a dream come true when the American troops stormed the prison camp and liberated those missionaries. I believe it was February 3rd, 1945. Just a thrilling story, really a story that's really not told, kind of one of the many, many great stories from World War II. So she was freed. The war was soon over for her. And now the bank that had demanded that John Hamilton not marry for 7 years, actually 8 years had passed since he had proposed. There's a lifetime of trauma and agony compressed into those few years. But their love, even though they had not seen each other for a long time, did not even know if each other was alive, had lasted, of course, through that. They were united in the United States, and on May 14th, 1945, they were married in Philadelphia. Wonderful story. And, you know, it makes me think of a couple things. Esther Hamilton, she wrote a book after the war, which is still available. It's not in print, but still available on Amazon. You can buy it, called Ambassador in Bonds. And she's referring to that verse in Ephesians 6, where Paul says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And she wrote a book about that entire ordeal and her Her story and John's story, really kind of fascinating reading if that interests you. But I wanted to pass that on to you. But it's a good time to think and to pray and remember to pray for our missionaries. And, you know, there are inherent dangers on the mission field, maybe not this intense, and yet, you know, political things change on a daily basis. It's been kind of quiet for a few years until last year when Russia invaded Ukraine. And I think of the ordeal that the Shroks have gone through in Belarus there, as Belarus is the only, I believe, ally of the Russian state, and so they're involved in a way in that war. And we've heard the stories about Katrina coming back and having difficulty getting over here. And I think the only reason she was allowed to leave is because she's married to an American. But you know, Russia said no one in our country may leave this country. It's completely shut down. And so, you know, we need to remember to pray for the inherent dangers that our missionaries are in. And just a wonderful story to remember, and how God blessed his own here and blessed these missionaries. And wanted to tell you that story this morning.